It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. My regularly scheduled host, Dylan White, can't make it this week. He's preparing for the snow. The winter's coming up there in Canada, you know, so he's got to reinforce his windows or whatever it is. I made all that up. That means that I have Jacob Rudner riding solo in the co-host seat. What's going on, Rud? How are you, man?
Doing well. You know, this has become like my second home on the Baseball America podcast agenda. So I'm glad to be back. I miss Dylan though, but this is always fun. So this is like my reprieve from college baseball coverage.
Exactly. We can talk a whole bunch of topics, prospects, you know, big leagues, all of it. And it's funny because I was going to kick off the show with you and Dylan this week, asking about Blue Jays making their run, Dodgers making their run, maybe discuss a little bit about this Tigers collapse. Though I haven't been watching that game. I have the Binghamton Erie game 3 on because I'm invested in this series after spending last week out in Western Pennsylvania, seeing Altoona and Erie a couple of times. That was a fun one. I got to taking my first game at PNC as well. I think I talked to you guys about that. That was a blast. I missed Paul Skeens. Didn't see Bubba Chandler. So I didn't get any of the interesting arms. No Mitch Keller. But, you know, I got Johan Oviedo. So I'll take it. It's fine. It is what it is. That said, we're going to talk about Arizona Fall League. We have the rosters now. We've reviewed it a ton. I was inspired by this, inspired a little bit to do this podcast by my good friend Nate Handy over at the Dynasty Dugout with Chris Clegg. He runs an AFL fantasy league. He's done it for a few years, I think maybe 4 years now. I finally got invited this year, so it's only hitters, and we only draft 4 hitters. You know, because it's limited number of teams, of course, so, you know, you only have so many players. I think this works. It's kind of fun. So we could talk about some of my picks, but I think generally this is a great time to kind of take a look at some of the names that are going to be out there and think about who could potentially be breakouts, because this is an event, a league that does impact fantasy value going into the offseason. There's a lot of guys that have had good AFL. Zaire Hope is a perfect example last year that they can sort of, you know, skyrocket in terms of their prospect stock, their dynasty stock. You know, you also have First Pitch Arizona that's put on by Baseball HQ, which is a great event that I've gone to a few times. I won't be out there this year. I'm sticking around New England. I don't want to get some sun in October, unfortunately. So we got a couple guys out there though. Of course, Jesus Cano lives out in Arizona, and then Josh Norris Bear is going to be out in Arizona for 2 weeks doing his thing. So that's, you know, that's great. But First Pitch Arizona, Baseball HQ, they bring a lot of the industry big names, heavy hitters out there. And they go to the Fall Stars game. So they see a lot of these guys. They're going to games over the 3 or 4 days that they're out there. And some of these big performances, you know, can turn people, you know, all of a sudden they fall in love. You know, Matt Mervis was one a couple of years ago that I think came out of AFL with some higher stock than maybe he had previously had. So sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Jacob Marcy being one that, you know, with your Marlins broke out this year in a big way when he was a Padres prospect. He was out in AFL, had a really good performance, big season, might have won the MVP even. And, you know, look at him. Pretty good sleeper you could have picked up in the offseason that year. So we're going to go through some of our favorite sleeper names. I'm going to kick it off at the top, though, with the big names, the guys that we all know. So we're going to get those out of the way from the rip. Of course, Kevin McGonigal, who's in this Erie game, our number 2 prospect in baseball, kind of 1B even, you know. I just think, you know, Connor Griffin, our 1A, our minor league player of the year, he's just so special. And I think from a fantasy perspective too, he does so many things really, really well And I don't think the ETA on him and McGonagall is necessarily all that different, that both of these guys could potentially break camp with their respective clubs. I don't know if you have any thoughts on McGonagall. I almost wonder, long season playoffs, he's a gamer, but how long he's out there in AFL? Like, it could be sort of like a 2-week thing, and then he's home for the rest of the offseason, but we shall see. Maybe he wants to get a little extra sun instead of going back to cold Pennsylvania where he's from. What are your thoughts on McGonagall?
I mean, hard not to love the bat. We talk about this a lot in the Baseball America Slack, so shout out to our colleagues. But maybe one of the most advanced hitters in minor league baseball right now. I mean, am I wrong in saying that? Is that going overboard? I don't think so. I think that this is probably somebody who's going to end up being massively productive for the Tigers as soon as early next season. And I don't know that AFL is going to do a whole bunch for me in terms of confirming or taking away from that. Like, I feel really good about who Kevin McGonagall is
out there. That's kind of full stop, right?
Right. Like, I think that that's probably like the poster child of, you know, prospect headed to AFL who has nothing to prove, but just like an opportunity to get better and be seen playing more baseball, which is always fun for nerds like us. But like, at the end of the day, I'm not super invested in Kevin McGonagall's AFL performance. If it's great, you know, awesome. It confirms a lot of the things that we've talked about all year long. If it's terrible, I'm not going to sit here the next time I'm on the fantasy podcast and be like, stay away from Kevin McGonagall, disastrous fall league performance. I mean, he's one of my favorite minor leaguers out there right now. I'm really excited to see what next year looks like. I think that the performance, even in Double A, where he hit, what was it, 250, was like good and still reasonably impressive. His eye is outstanding. He's a very patient hitter, and I like you just kind of said, I'm excited to see him get more reps. I'm also not putting like a significant amount of stock in it either way.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it, right? Like, let's not go crazy here. What he does in AFL is not going to be important whatsoever. But obviously, I think just from like a pure hitting perspective, he's the most optimized great hitter in the minors. And what do I mean by that? Just he does everything really, really well. Physically, there's some physical tools that Connor Griffin has that McGonagall will just never have. Like, completely different bodies. One guy's 6'4", the other one's probably 5'7", 5'8". But in terms of contact all around the zone, elite swing decisions, and then the ability to backspin the ball to his pull side consistently for a smaller guy, even though he has pretty good EVs, above average to plus EVs, especially for age and level, all that stuff. It's the clean barrels and the consistency of clean barrels and being able to pull the ball and sort of do all the things he needs to do. And then just a really high level of awareness. Defensively, we don't care so much in fantasy, right? Like, I don't think McGonagall is going to stick at shortstop long term. That's not to say he won't qualify as a shortstop, because he could see enough time, especially in that Tigers infield that always kind of seems a little fluid between second, third base, and shortstop, depending upon which good hitter, bad fielder they're trying to hide at any particular position on a given day. So I think he could honestly be like a multi-position guy too, which boosts it. If I got to put a comp on him, I think the Chase Utley comp is really good. It's who he grew up watching. And I think like he's got that kind of hard-nosed grittiness that Utley brought to the game, and just like always go, go, go. I mean, even when Utley was playing for the Dodgers in his late 30s, like he was going spikes up in on slides, and you know, like he was never not going full speed, full bore at all times. So I think it's very similar with Kevin McGonagall. Next guys that we'll call out, Sebastian Walcott. He's been in AFL before, super talented. You know, the tools are ridiculous. One of the youngest players at Double A, spent the full season there this year. Really talented player, but I'm going to move on here to another one and Chase DeLotter. And DeLotter's been here before. I think for a lot of us, we were hoping that DeLotter would stay healthy enough to graduate and play for the Guardians this year. I think Guardians fans would love to have him a part of this mix right now as they're making this late season run. But health has always been a concern with DeLotter. I think the story's still the same. And then some of these other names I'll just call off. Josue DePaula, Brady Montgomery, Charlie Condon, Aiden Miller. DePaula and Miller, I think, are another class of prospects, particularly DePaula, who maybe doesn't have the defensive upside that Miller has, even though I don't think Miller's a shortstop. I've made a ton of errors this year at short. Probably a pretty good third baseman. I think DePaula's bat is better, and I think we're going to continue to see this guy scale year after year as he gets into more power and better angles. And I think if you look at the numbers, the metrics, the performances, you know, 23 to 24 to then 25, you can see what the progression is and him getting better and better at every level. Unfortunately for him, the Dodgers outfield in that system is stacked. So him and Hope did not move as quickly as they probably would have in maybe some other organizations. But, you know, this is a very exciting player. Not a great outfielder, I almost consider in some ways.
I was about to say that.
He's like a better version of Eloy Jimenez, where it's a bat. I think the bat is better. He's a better athlete than Eloy Jimenez, who was a pretty like bottom of the barrel athlete. DePaul was a pretty good athletic tester, was like an outlier athletic tester at the time that he signed. And because he was really from the United States and not from the Dominican Republic, we do have a fair amount of like amateur track record with him too, to kind of parse that out. But he just doesn't get good jumps. He just doesn't kind of naturally play the outfield position. You know, there's guys that I think just have that and guys that don't. And it's not like he's an outlier runner like a Jaron Duran or a Chandler Simpson, where you're like, oh, I think because of the makeup speed that he'll make some plays that like maybe his jumps wouldn't necessarily make. It's all bat with DePaula, but I'm not sure you necessarily care. You know,
I don't know where he plays. That's my thing.
DH corner outfield. It's Yordan Alvarez. I mean,
okay, but there's a guy who's really good at that, who plays for the Dodgers. So I don't know, like that. This is totally going off topic here, but as a Dodgers fan, as somebody who follows that team very closely, I worry about what DePaula looks like as he continues to progress throughout his career, because I don't think he's a big league outfielder personally. I don't think he plays first base. There's somebody who's really good at that who plays for the Dodgers right now. And then the DH is also decent too. So I have concerns about where he ends up. And I will say this, I think the bat can be good. I don't know that we've seen it consistently be good though. Correct me if I'm wrong there.
I think it's been pretty consistently good. I think that there are like some of the power numbers and stuff maybe look down from what they should be. Like it was only a 158 like ISO this year in the Midwest League. That's not the easiest place to hit. It was still like a 143 WRC plus, and you know, he got four games in Tulsa and didn't do much. So didn't have a hit. So, you know, I don't think you can take much away from that. I still really believe in the bat. The underlying metrics are still really, really good. He walks a ton. He doesn't strike out a whole lot. And the EVs are there. It's just a matter of more consistently finding angles. And to his credit, his ground ball rate dropped pretty significantly this year by like 4 or 5% and is more in like the low 40 range now. You know, mid-30s on the fly balls and mid-20s on line drives, which is great. And typically, you know, you're going to have a higher batting average on balls in play if you're stinging it like that. So I think it will still come along. I mean, he's not a guy that they have moved. That's not to say that they wouldn't move him. You know, I don't know if he ends up late long-term with the Dodgers, you know, but it's probably still 2 years away before he's ready to play in the big leagues. I don't know. I wonder if they would try to hide him in like left field or something like that, because the bat might be good enough to do that. But we'll see. So this is sort of the big names. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. We're going to talk about 10 different players that we think could be breakouts in the AFL.
When you think Fair Harbor, you should think soft. You should think buttery liner. But it's not just the bathing suits or the shorts. It's also sweatshirts like the one that I'm wearing right now, Kratz. It is stupid soft.
It's ridiculous that a shirt that can, one, keep you warm, two, be so soft, and three, so lightweight. like the collar, everything. You don't even feel like you actually have a hoodie on, but you do.
It is a lightweight hoodie, and it feels incredible. So you should go get one yourself. Also, for bathing suits, for shorts, for whatever clothes that you're interested in where you want to basically feel like you're not wearing them, but you are, that's what Fair Harbor can bring to the table. So head to fairharborclothing.com/foul20 and use code FOUL20 for 20% off your order. That's Fair Harbor, H-A-R-B-O-R, clothing.com/foul20 for 20% off your order. And make sure you use that promo code FOUL20.
All right. And we're back. We are talking Arizona Fall League, Jeff Ponce, Jacob Rudner. All right, Rud, let's kick it off, man. I think you're the only one that picked it. I didn't pick any pitchers. I picked all hitters. I don't know if I trust any breakouts of the AFL for pitching, just because like they could pitch well and like their ERA could still be 5.5. Like it is the craziest run environment out there, especially this time of year. It just feels like there's like no drag at all. Like the ball just goes. EVs are crazy, everything. But you have some pitchers here, and I think some pretty good ones. And I'm going to let you go full evangelical on Carson Milbrandt here, because I know that is your guy. I like Carson Milbrandt. He's your dude. That's your guy.
Yeah. I first of all, really a fan. I think that he has a chance to be pretty good. I will also say this to your point about pitchers in the AFL. I also am weary of, you know, picking pitchers to talk about for quote unquote breaking out, because conventionally speaking, I don't know that it's the easiest to track if you're just like pulling up AFL stats and looking at ERAs and all that kind of stuff. Some of these guys are going to look quote unquote bad, but they're definitely not bad in the AFL. The reason I'm fascinated by pitchers this time of year is because some of these guys didn't really play a whole bunch during their seasons, and I just want to see them go and like not be hurt for a little bit and get some innings. And like, I want to see the stuff and how they look. And I'm not so invested in the ERA. With Milbrandt though, this has been a really good year, and we have seen a lot of strides, both in terms of what the overall numbers look like, but also like how he's reshaped his body. I was told by a Marlins source that prior to the season, Milbrandt put 20 pounds of good weight onto his frame, and that has led to him throwing better and more strikes. There haven't been the same kinds of command and control issues. I think we've seen the shapes of his pitches start to look a lot better, especially that like tight curveball that he throws a little bit more of right now has been impressive. I think Milbrandt is somebody who is ready to take a pretty big jump up the rankings and maybe into more of the regular organizational prospect conversation. Right now, I currently have him as the Marlins' 25th best prospect. I can honestly say on this prospect, he's so much better than that. And I'm just excited to see what the continued progression is like through the AFL. And again, is that going to be conveyed via his ERA? Maybe, maybe not, probably not. But at the same time, there has been such measurable progress throughout 2025 for him that I'm excited to see how that continues in fall league and whether or not we're able to go into 2026 feeling pretty good about how this is somebody who belongs in the high teens, maybe, of that Marlins list with a chance to maybe crack the top 10 next year as a 23-year-old who will probably be, hopefully be, if everything continues to progress, in, you know, double A for a little bit, triple A, and then by the end of the year, we'll see what happens with a major league call-up potentially. But this is somebody who's close-ish to a major league debut, and I just think that fall league is going to be the perfect bridge into what could be a very productive 2026 for him.
I would agree. Yeah. And I think it's good stuff. And the other thing is, you know, that's not to say there aren't quality pitcher breakouts in the AFL. Like every year there are guys like that come out and shove and perform. And I think, you know, you get a couple of good starts under your belt and the numbers look pretty good. People start talking like, hey, this is a really tough run environment. And this guy's keeping some runs off the board. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. I'm looking at you, Connor Thomas. My first guy I'm going to throw out there is kind of a breakout from this year in the Brewer system. And that is, I'm going to screw this up. I think it's Marco Dingus. Is it? No? You're laughing at me.
I'm laughing because I also don't know, but you were the one who had to say it, so it's fine.
D-I-N-G-E-S. You know, the bat to ball ability is below average, but the swing decisions are really, really good. 24% chase rate, 44% swing. I like to look at the gap between chase and swing. Anything above 20% is pretty good. He's right on the nose of 20. The EVs are awesome. 107.2 90th percentile, 91.3 average exit velo this year. He had a 112, pretty decent barrel rate, hard hit launch angle, 10.8 degrees. Biggest issue with him is he doesn't pull the ball that much. It was like a 12.4% pull air, which is below average. But with those EVs and good swing decisions, I think this could work. Had a 401 WOBA this year. That's backed by a 360X WOBA. Really good damage numbers, etc. So I look at a guy like this, and I look at that run environment in AFL, and I think to myself, he's the kind of guy, even if he's not catching, could potentially DH in whatever lineup he's in a given day. You know, so I kind of feel like he's a guy that could break out a little bit because he could put on a show and, you know, have some 2-3 homer games and, you know, kind of do that Jose Briseño thing that we saw last year. So, yeah, but Marco, I think it's Dingus, but Dingies. Marco Dingy sounds worse. I like Dingus, but D-I-N-G-E-S. So, who is your next team?
I'm going to Sean Lignon, former Dodgers prospect, now with the Nats. Another pitcher, I know. Maybe I'm crazy. I have three pitchers. I'm just going to tell people that now. Milbrandt was my first. This is my second. But, I mean, if you're gonna take a changeup and you're going to try and model your changeup after somebody in the minors right now, old Sean is not exactly a bad pick. It's one of the nastier changeups in baseball right now. It's more of like a screwball. 65% whiff rate this season. The biggest thing, though, and I kind of mentioned this, was that he wasn't terribly healthy after he got traded from the Dodgers to the Nats this year. And so this goes, you know, kind of back to what I was saying. I really would like to see him just pitch in the AFL and what that continues to look like from a development standpoint. As I said, super intriguing because of that changeup. I think that there are other reasonably decent pitches around it. He's currently in the mid pack of the Nat system for us, kind of like Carson Milbrandt. Is he somebody who could move up? It wouldn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me when guys who strike out, what was it, 15 batters per 9 innings, even though it was in a limited sample, move up. So I'm pretty bullish on him. I was when the Dodgers traded him. I thought that could be one of those things that the Dodgers regret, whether that's because he becomes some sort of very productive reliever or figures out a way to start games. But I just like the guy. I'm intrigued by that one pitch. And frankly, and maybe you can speak on this too, it is fun to put some, you know, emotional investment when it comes to AFL time in guys who just have like one really standout pitch. I don't even know that I'm like super invested in the package here as much as I am just in what that changeup looks like. It could be the best pitch on the AFL roster this fall, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's a 70. I think it's a 70 changeup. I mean, it has 11 mile per hour separation velocity wise off of his fastball. It has a 8.17 VAA to a 4.4 on his four seam. Anything like 2 is good. Anything that's like a 2.5 degree separation is really good. This is like almost a 4 degree separation. Like, it's an absurd amount of drop. And he just really kills lift. It almost has like it's like a 1 IVB, like it has negative IVB at times. And the craziest thing, as you said, it's a screwball. He spins this pitch. It's got 2600 to like 2800 RPM spin rates. Like, it's almost like a reverse breaking ball. You know, people talked about the reverse slider or sweeper. It's almost like that. I mean, it is sweeper-ish shape. 16 inches of arm side run. It is just a devastating changeup. And especially with some of the lower level guys, like, he gets a lineup that has a lot of guys that have been like, haven't played above double A or have very little double A experience. He's going to eat those guys alive, because guys with changeups like this in the lower levels just eat constantly. So I like that pick a lot. Sean Paul Lignon. My next name is a name that I can say correctly. That's Parks Harbor. I've written a bit about Harbor. Was at UGA for a few years, transferred to UNC, I think for his fourth season in college, if I'm not mistaken. Was an NDFA, undrafted free agent by the Yankees. Ends up getting dealt this offseason and, at the trade deadline. And he looks awesome. Like, the EVs are really, really good. I think there's some ability to hit. The swing and miss stuff isn't, like, terribly concerning. It wouldn't shock me if Parks Harbor, like, absolutely goes off in AFL. That would be my particular expectation. I mean, certainly, like, he's going to be playing home games at Scottsdale, which is not the easiest park to hit him out of, but the ball still travels there, and he's got, you know, like, 17.4% in-zone whiff, 22.5% chase rate with a 44.7% swing rate. That's like a little bit over 22% difference between chase and swing. And then, like, the EVs are loud, like a 107.9 90th percentile. That's plus by major league standards. Really good angles. You know, really high barrel rate, one of the highest barrel rates of any hitter in the AFL. I just think Harbor could really potentially break out in a big way. I don't know if you have any experience from him from your beat days at Florida and seeing him at UGA or maybe catching him at UNC.
I don't know that I ever saw him in person, but he is awfully intriguing. He's got really good bat to ball skills and was somebody who, you know, there was reason to be bullish about him coming out of college. I did not get to see him in person, so I don't really have much to add other than what you just said. But he definitely makes for a very interesting prospect in the AFL because of that bat to ball.
Yeah, I think it's like, and the power is just like, it's like a perfect AFL mix. All right, let's jump on to your final pitcher here. Who's that?
Yeah, my final arm. I will also say that this is somebody who I, you know, you want to, the college guy. I got to go back to my college dudes. Jacob Wright with the Dodgers is on my list, my final pitcher. Why is he on there? Kind of similar to my other guys, except for Mil Brandt. I just want to see him throw. We only saw 9 games, 19 and 2/3 innings out of the former Cal Poly slow lefty. But he's really got great stuff, like nasty, nasty stuff. The sweeper, it's like averaged 15.2 inches of movement, 15.6, sorry, horizontal break, 15.6 inches of horizontal break. He's got a good fastball. He's got real feel for spin. Being left-handed is obviously exciting. But yeah, I mean, the lateral movement that this guy's able to generate with a multitude of different pitches is impressive. He's got a real fastball. He's also got a sinker that he pairs with it. But we just didn't get to see a whole lot of him in the regular season. And I think that he has a track record of being pretty exciting. His last year at Cal Poly Slow in 2024, he struck out 101 batters, walked 42 over 88 innings. As a first-year pro in 2025, 22 years old. In Rancho, again, 19 and 2/3 innings, struck out 24, walked 8. So this is somebody who misses a lot of bats. He's got exciting stuff. It's just about whether or not he's able to stay on the mound and not get hurt. And this is kind of going to be his season. We didn't really get to see a lot of him this year. So I'm just looking forward to getting innings on Jacob Wright's arm and hearing what our friend the Bear thinks about him, because I know he was high on him earlier this year before he got hurt.
Yeah, I wrote a Prospect of the Day article right around the time that he got hurt. It's really good stuff. And internally, like, Dodgers folks were speaking pretty highly of him. So I think that's a very good one. I'm going to stay with my power hitters here. With Esmerlin Valdez of the Pirates, I saw him a couple times last week because he was in that series, was on that Altoona team with Mr. Griffin. You know, there's some swing and miss here for sure. Had a really, really good year, kind of a bit of a breakout performance for him, but is there swing and miss? Absolutely. 30.5% miss rate this year, 23.8% in zone whiff. He doesn't really chase though, 21%, higher swing rate, a lot of like swing strike, you know, a lot of, swinging at strikes in the zone. The EVs once again are really good, 107.8 90th percentile. His max EV this year was 115.2. 90.5 mile per hour average exit velocity, and his angles are flawless. 15.6% launch angle, 15.6 degree launch angle, 14.8 degree hard hit launch angle, and his pull launch angle, which more often than not is a lot with a lot of these guys really low or negative sometimes, 6.8 degree pull launch angle, which is above average, had a 25% pull air this year. 387 WOBA with a 353 X WOBA, really high damage numbers. This is the kind of guy that can win like an AFL MVP because he can pop out 9 home runs in a short season. And especially with some of these parks, and we haven't really seen him in parks that haven't had marine layers, whether that's in Pittsburgh and like Pirate City where you're dealing with that stuff, or Bradenton, you know, then gets promoted to Greensboro, which is a great place to hit. We have seen him there. So I'll actually take that back. That's true. And then Altoona. But nothing is like the AFL. Like, there are guys that, you know, hit a lot more homers when they're playing in AFL than any other place that they'll likely ever play. All right. So who is your first hitter?
Well, you mentioned there's some swing and miss. My first hitter has almost none, and that is Mr. Henry Mendez, an outfielder for the Twins. Yeah. Let me just say, if this guy can figure out how to hit the ball in the air, just a little bit of loft in the swing, I think he has a chance to be a seriously good baseball player and somebody who's going to be productive for the Twins as early as next year. I don't know when next year, just because he didn't really, he was double A almost all year this year, I believe. But man, could he move fast if there's a little bit of loft added and he can figure out how to consistently backspin the baseball, because he doesn't swing and miss. 9.5% in zone whiff rate over almost 500 plate appearances in double A this season. The exit velocity numbers are not bad. 104.8 mile per hour, 90th. I really think that he has a chance to be impressive. And if he can use the AFL as an opportunity to kind of tune up the swing and get to some more power, and actually, I shouldn't even put it that way. Not get to more power, just get to more like putting the ball in the air and using the really good swing decisions and the contact that he's already shown that he can make. He hit 300 this year. He gets on base. This is like, he's awesome. He walks more than he strikes out. Fine defender. I'm really high on Henry Mendez. I was excited to talk about him. Probably the most exciting prospect that I have on my five guys that you and I were going to talk about on this episode. And AFL, this is the opportunity to kind of see it hopefully start to come together. Because like I said, I am really confident that he's going to jump to AAA early next year. I think he's going to be able to debut for the Twins at some point next summer at 22 years old. And if all of it starts to kind of come together, we're talking about a really impressive outfielder prospect for Minnesota.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think I wrote about him last week as well as just a general sort of data sleeper. And the numbers do pop. Like, the skills are there. There's even some decent EVs. I think, like you said, it's just a matter of like backspinning the ball like a little bit more. If the angles get a little bit better, the production's already good. It could sort of skyrocket, you know, to another level. And he's kind of bounced around to a few orgs at this point too. So, you know, that's kind of interesting. So my penultimate name here is Sam Peterson, former Iowa Hawkeye. I thought he was kind of a draft sleeper at the time when he went in the eighth rounds. You know, spent time this year across primary, he dealt with some injuries, that's why he's an AFL. But primarily was, you know, with high A Wilmington, which is a very hard place to hit. And he put up phenomenal numbers: 297, 398, 490 with 6 home runs and 18 stolen bases over 44 games. So 161 WRC plus. 18% strikeout rate, 11.6% walk rate. I like Peterson because I think he's going to run out there in AFL where guys often run wild. I think there's potentially more power here. And I think he's probably sliding a little bit under the radar because of what his draft position was, what his organization is. And then also the fact that he was limited to kind of, you know, 44 games this year at high A. But when he was there, he was incredibly productive. I think he's just a general sleeper. So I kind of wanted to get my plug in for Sam Peterson, and that is with a E, not an O. It's S-E-N, not S-O-N. So Peterson, not Peterson. So that's, like I said, my fourth name. I got one more. You got one more. Hit me with your last name.
Well, my last one is Blake Mitchell of the Royals. Probably one of the more famous names in the AFL this year. But man, Jeff, I just want to see it. I want to see him take off. That's where this one's at. You know, with Hendry, we're looking at a hitter where it's like you have all the exciting tools and it really came together this year. And now if you start putting the ball in the air, you're going to be really good. I need to see just more from Blake Mitchell. This was not like the best year ever. He hit 207. He hit two home runs. But he was also the eighth overall pick in 2023. And he's an exciting prospect who is still young, 21 years old. And like, you know, I almost, you know, what's funny. I'm like distracting myself here, but I feel like I've covered, you know, three different very key areas of AFL people across my five prospects. You have like exciting pitchers who are looking to build on their seasons, like Carson Beaubrandt. You have guys who didn't really get to pitch a lot and they need more innings, like Jacob Wright. You have hitters who are young and need to add like one little tiny refinement to their swings, like Hendry, who are, you know, right there and can be really good. And then you have guys like Blake Mitchell, where it's just like, please go perform well. Starlin Cabba is on the AFL roster. Like, same thing. Terrible year. Go and impress some people. Show people that you can do it. We are, as an outlet, we are high on Blake Mitchell. He has the tools to be a good baseball player. I just think that this is kind of the fall where it has to happen. He has to develop better as a catcher. He took a big jump last year. This year didn't look good. The run numbers weren't as impressive. He stole 25 bases in 24. This year, I believe he stole 12 and he got caught five times. Just kind of got to see the quickness come back in every phase of the game, whether that's him, you know, throwing the ball, that's the swing, running, all of the things that we saw from 2024 Blake Mitchell. I want back. And I hope that this AFL stint will be the moment where he starts to kind of recapture the prospect that has excited us for some time. I mean, look, it's like six power. Is that wrong? It could be six power. I don't know that it's presently six power, but like it could be.
Yeah, the EVs are there. I think it's possible.
Right? The hit is what? A five? Maybe slightly below that? Four and a half? I just want to see it. I want to see that actually be a thing in a game. And I think that this is an opportunity for us to actually get a look. Maybe.
100%. That's a good final pick, and one that honestly could have like a huge breakout because he's got some of the pedigree. Carter Jensen had an awesome AFL, and I think that kind of springboarded him into the season, had a great season, and obviously got up to the big leagues. My last name is playing in this Binghamton Erie game right now. It's Nick Morabito. He's a good athlete. He's got really good skills. Played a full season with Binghamton this year. Hit 273, 348, 385. It's a 119 WRC+. You know, I don't know where the power goes here. The skills are really good. He rarely swings and misses. He makes good swing decisions. It's like an 88 mile per hour average and like a 103.2 90th percentile. The angles just aren't very good. 4.4 degree launch angle, hard hit launch angle, a little better, 8.4. Pull launch angle, -6.6. He cannot pull the ball. So I am interested to see if maybe working with some different coaches, maybe he can make some tweaks, and maybe that desert air carries a couple of those fly balls a little bit further. But he's a really exciting player with tools, and maybe more upside than I think people realize. But I think like if I was going to put on a very reasonable label for what his potential upside or role is in the future, it's probably a fourth outfielder. But could be a pretty good one. We'll see where the bat goes. Like I said, the skills are there. He makes a lot of contact. It's just a matter of doing a little bit more damage, and we'll see if that comes in AFL or not. All right, Rudd, I appreciate you joining me here on this podcast. For everybody that tuned in, this has been the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. Cheers.